After leaving school, I started my apprenticeship with a local electrical contractor. In 1948, the Refugee Council, who were my legal guardians, decided to move me to Glasgow. By this time, Agnes and Janet were both married, Jessie was about to get married, and Mr. Mackenzie was going to move to Motherwell to live with Janet and her husband. I couldn't find the firm to complete my electrical apprenticeship in the Glasgow area, so I started my apprenticeship all over again in a shipyard in Renfrew as a mechanical engineer. After about a year, I went for an interview with an electrical contractor in Paisley and was accepted to complete my electrical apprenticeship. It was during this time that I was given the chance to apply for British citizenship. I applied in March 1949 and my citizenship was finally authorised in February 1950. Once that was approved, I decided to change my name as well. My name was Rosenberg, Mount of Roses, and the Scottish equivalent would have been Montrose. But after the kindness shown to my sister and I over the past years, I decided to thank Mr. Mackenzie by adopting his name, as he had no sons of his own to carry his name forward. After the war, we were overjoyed to discover my parents had survived the war. My father and grandfather had both been taken away to concentration camps, and although my father survived, unfortunately my grandfather did not. My parents had been ejected from their home, and my mother survived the war living with friends and relations. At the end of the war, the Russian forces controlled the area where my parents lived, and when the authorities discovered that my parents had been ejected, they in turn ejected the German family who had moved in, and the house was restored to my parents. My father tried to persuade me to come back to Germany, but after being used to the freedom in this country and hearing of the tightly controlled way of life under the communist regime, we decided not to return to Germany. Being in the Russian zone, my parents were not allowed to travel to the West. By this time I'd met my future wife and we got married in November 1952. Shortly after this, I was called up for national service. I went into the RAF in Marie Quarters and decided why. My mother got a letter from my mother saying she was coming to visit us in the Marie Quarters. And we went down to Kidderminster to meet her at the train. And we sat there for about a couple of hours, still nobody there. And we came back to the camp. And next door to us in the quarters was a sergeant who was married to a German woman who was interested in meeting my mother. When we returned home, neighbour asked us in for a cup of coffee and we talked about what could have happened to my mother. And then there was a knock at the door and a gentleman asked if anyone knew where the people next door were, as the lady was wanting to see them. It turned out to be my mother. Someone in the train had told her it would be better getting off at Bridgnorth instead of Kidderminster. She didn't realise that we were waiting at Kidderminster. So she got off the train, no idea how to get there, made a few questions in her whole thing English, and started to walk it, not realising it was 3 miles to the camp, a December day. Anyway, this gentleman stopped and got her up the house, and that's when we took her next door, and I raked up the fire after damping it down, and the chimney went up on fire. So, as I said, the RAF Marie Quarters have an RAF fire service, and their idea of a chimney fire is ladder against the roof, hose down the chimney, turn on the water. It's very effective, but as you can imagine, the mess down below. So after we started to clean up, my wife was going to help. My mother said, no, sits and D, you know, sit down. And her and I, after, well, it must have been 17, 18 years since we'd seen each other, spent our first hour together on hands and knees on the floor cleaning up the mess. What a reunion. Anyway, after we cleared up the mess there, we asked how on earth she'd managed to get out, and that's when she explained. Now, I think it was, who was it went to see? Oh, permission to visit her brother in Cologne. She got permission from the Russian authorities to visit her brother, and when she went there, he took her up to the Burgermeister. And as I say, the Burgermeister there issues the passports, so he gave her a West German passport, took her East German passport, and said, when you come back, give me back the West German passport, I'll give you back the East German passport. And no one's any wiser, and that's what happened. But as I say, we got her home up north, meet some of the family, and meet my sister in Glasgow. But she wouldn't take any photos home with her. And it was, I think it was fear of the authorities. The travel restrictions were so tight, you know. And eventually, well, many years later, as we go, I'll come to it later, many years later, my father did manage to come out. But to carry on with the story, after 3 years in the forces, I was demobbed and found it difficult to settle down. I had several jobs and joined the government service. We were writing regularly to my parents, and in 56, my wife and I decided we should go and visit the parents with my first grandchild. We writing as they'd missed out on their own children growing up, they should at least see their grandchildren. The arrangement was made, and money was tight, the most economical form of transport was to go by train. So my wife went first to stay with my sister in Blackpool, and my sister accompanied her to London, and from there it was by train to Dover and the ferry, and by train to Cologne, where she spent the night with friends of my parents. The following day, on the train again to Magdeburg, on the border between East and West Germany, where my father met her. He worked for the railways in East Germany. Well, you think it was quite a journey with an 18-month-old child and a woman on her own. You know, it's they weren't quite so sophisticated as they are nowadays, you know. And my wife and son stayed for a period of 6 weeks. And when she came back and told me about the restrictions imposed over there, I was glad I'd not gone back home after war as my father had wanted. On arrival at my parents' house, she had to sign the book in the house, listing all the visitors, then go to the police station to register her arrival and inform them of her length of stay. And my parents told her to be sure to keep sufficient English money to pay for her exit visa, as she could not pay for that in German money.
And why did you decide not to go with her?
Well, I couldn't go because I was wanting the government service, and the work I was doing was restricted. You know, security was quite high. And then, of course, they were in the Russian zone, so there was no way I could go to a communist country working for the British government.
Right.
And there was also their fault, was the possibility they were looking for technical personnel. If I'd gone there, I might never get back out again.
But you were a British citizen by that time.
Only in the British Commonwealth. If you go back to your country of birth, right? Never mind the said Mackinder House, which is starting loss. As far as the Russians were concerned, they won the war, built it Tate. He's a German, he stays here, right? That was it. So the British citizenship, I mean, it tells you on the documentation I've got, it's valid, except in the country of my birth.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, you see? So you've got to be careful with these little, all these little quirks upset you, you know? Anyway, while living in Beath in Ayrshire, we got word my father had retired and his travel restrictions no longer applied. So in the summer of 58, my mother and father came to visit us. It was only now that my mother told my father she'd be to see us. At first, he wouldn't believe it, but when he saw the photos of us together, he had no choice, he had to believe it, you know? The reason my mother had not told him was she was so frightened it would slip out accidentally and they would both be punished for breaking the travel regulations imposed by the East German authorities. That was the last time I saw my parents. As a government employee with a high security clearance, I was not permitted to travel to a communist-controlled country. And both my parents passed away in 68. In 74, my wife and I took our first trip back to the country of my birth. Due to my government service, it was impossible for us to cross over to communist-controlled East Germany to visit the home I was brought up in. We toured West Germany, calling on friends stationed there in the forces, and prior to going over, we had been in touch with my mother's sister, who was a governess in Dresden. She was a childminder, as good an explanation as any. A painter there, a widower, he'd seven children, she looked after them. Now, during the working days, she'd been housekeeper and nanny for a widow of seven children, now living in Rendsburg, and one of the children, Maria, was now living in Rendsburg in West Germany. So it was arranged that we would go up to Rendsburg and visit Maria, and my aunt would go from East Germany to visit Maria, a good excuse, one of my children, you know. When we arrived in Rendsburg, we found that Aunt Gertrude was waiting for us. And that was our first meeting in 35 years. Just imagine, you know. At great risk to herself, she'd smuggled out my father's watch to bring to me. This was a watch that my grandfather had given to my father, and my father had promised to me, you come back to Germany and it's yours. I wouldn't go back to Germany, so. But Aunt Gertrude got it, and she smuggled it out for me. And I've still got it, yeah. And it was hidden all during the war by my mother. And in fact, my mother had jewellery which was buried during the war. And she got it out when, you know, the war was finished. She got it back up, got my father's watch, and got her jewellery back. And she got the jewellery made into two rings. One was a solitaire diamond with stones either side. Another was five in a row diamonds. And one was for my sister and one was for my wife, Betty. So when my sister died, the ring came to my wife, Betty, you know, so she got two of them now. But where was it? Oh, it's the same watch that's given me now.